welcome to the 17th episode of the Not Your Mama's Gamer podcast, a podcast where we talk about games and gaming from a feminist perspective. I'm Samantha Blackman, one of your co-hosts, and I'm an associate professor here at Purdue main campus in wonderful West Lafayette, Indiana, where I teach rhetoric and composition. Specifically, I focus on digital humanities and minority rhetorics. And right now, my main area of research is rhetoric and video games. I am joined tonight, as usual, by my two co-hosts, Alex Lane and Sarah White.
I'm Alex. I am a PhD student in rhetoric and composition at wonderful West Lafayette's Purdue University also. And I study games and rhetoric, and I'm very excited about NFL Sunday Ticket to Go on the PS3.
Very excited.
Don't sell it short. You're very, very, very excited.
I believe there was some squealing and slamming of the hands on the desk.
There might even have been a cigarette smoked afterwards. I don't know. Sure. I am Sarah White. I teach to the north of these two fine women and at Purdue North Central, and I get allowed to teach, right now I'm teaching a vampire and writing class. I get to teach business writing, and my favorite, of course, is creative writing. And so my tendency is to look at video games in terms of their narrative offerings. What are they giving us? What are they doing and changing in terms of how we approach storytelling and the book itself, even, and how it's kind of altering that. So that's who I am. That's what I am interested in. And yes, Samantha.
Well, we will get started in the way that we usually will. And we'll start with going through what we've been playing, what are we reading, and finally our favorite, what are we drinking? I think we'll start with what you're playing, and I think we'll go through this fairly quickly because I get the feeling that the bulk of our conversation tonight is probably going to cover the games that I've been playing this week, so I won't talk too much about them. I have this week been playing two games mostly. I've been playing Deus Ex Human Revolution for the last couple of weeks. And I did the thing. I stalked the Redbox app on my phone until it popped up the night before, even though I had already ordered it. I just couldn't play. I couldn't wait to play. Yeah, I know, it's horrible. I had already ordered it from Amazon. And so I stalked the Redbox app, got it Tuesday, played it for a couple of days until my copy actually came in, because I, hadn't pre-ordered it with the pre-order, guarantee that it was going to be there on launch day. Mm-hmm. And the other game that I've been playing, and I also stalked on my Redbox app, which is really sad. I should not be stalking my phone at midnight. I know, it's really sad.
Or awesome.
That's right.
And picked up on my way to school early in the morning, on my way to drop my kid off at school, which was even worse, was Dead Island, which I said I was not going to buy. And I still have not bought.
That's not going to stop me from buying it.
But those are the two games that I've been playing. Both interesting games. I'm not going to talk too much about them. Deus Ex... It's been pretty interesting for me for a number of reasons, as has Dead Island. But Dead Island really was a good thing for me one day when I needed vodka and zombies to get me through the day.
Mm-hmm. We saw that on Facebook. Yeah,
yeah, I needed that day. That's what I've been playing this week. What about y'all?
I've been playing with you, so I've been also playing Deus Ex and Dead Island, and I think I'll tell my Deus Ex story now. What do you think?
Yeah, do it.
So I'm playing poker last night with Mike and his friends.
This is appropriate poker, not like strip poker.
No, this is total. This is okay. Serious all poker. Right. Like all throw right. down yeah. cash in the pot. It's legal to gamble and stuff here, right? Yeah, cash in the pot. And so I'm sitting around, right? Everyone's got these like cigarettes and cigars, and we got our beers. Yeah. Like six guys are on the table and me. And one of his friends is a gamer, so I look over and I go, "Hey, Steve, you interested in Deus Ex?" Of course, which they all heard Day of Sex. And one of his friends leans over and he goes, "Hey, I don't know if you know this, but Mike's right there." Oh my gosh, was my face so red.
Yeah, they're probably jealous of your husband. Hey, do you know about the Day of Sex? About
the Day of Sex?
What day is that exactly, Alex?
Any day, apparently, for me.
September 3rd.
Any day, anybody. So, my caveat to Deus Ex is be careful how you phrase it to people when you're trying to get them to play with you. Right, exactly. Anything of the sort. So, I played some of that. And then I played some Dead Island. We're getting into all this later there.
Yeah, Samantha. I think so.
So I've been playing some Dead Island, and then I've been playing my indie game of the week, which I think we are also getting into later, called Puzzle Pirates, which is as awesome as it sounds.
I've played Puzzle Pirates before.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
That's my indie game of the week. So there. And I've been playing a ton of Black Ops, to the point where I tried to pick up, I think it was it like a dollar or a piece of paper or something? Anyway, with my thumb and my index finger, and my hand like started shaking and my muscles were like quivering. I'm like, what is wrong with me? And then I realized that I had been playing so much Call of Duty that my muscles were starting to, I don't know, get overworked, stop working. I have a hand disease. I don't know.
Strengthen, I think.
Some strange, repetitive stress injury?
Yeah, some sort of repetitive stress injury. I think because I'm like gripping the controller so hard when I'm like trying to kill people. So,
well, that happens. Yeah.
I just started the hardcore mode, so that's the thing that's been keeping me playing all week. I really enjoy that. So
cool.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Well, my game is going to have to probably fall in the indie game of the week as well. I played something called Runespell Overture.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about poker.
I hate that
and
game.
I also, and this is a news story. I don't know if you guys did this or not, but I did play Tea Party Zombies Must Die.
Oh, I have been hearing all about that. I saw the greatest headline, "Conservatives Dislike Tea Party Zombies Must Die."
I, in fact, played it, so I suppose I should hold my thunder until a little bit later, because I went through all the levels, otherwise, I've just been playing my usual suspects, you know, like Red Dead when I get a chance, and my Harry Potter Legos, you know what I mean? So, nothing too out of my realm, but, yeah, that's what I was doing.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Party down.
Very cool. All right, ladies, so the next question is, what you reading? Gosh, I don't know what to say.
You just got a new book.
I did just get a new book. I talked about it last time, and I hadn't had a chance to read it yet. But what I have been reading this time around is Kurt Squire's new book, Video Games and Learning. I've started reading Ian Bogost's Things to Do with Video Games, I think is the title. And I have to say that, you know, Ian's books rarely disappoint. And this one doesn't either. Let me say that before that didn't sound too good from the beginning. you know, he's really smart and has some interesting things to say. And I think that this book, I haven't gotten too far into it yet. Because I was also reading Kurt Squire's book and doing a lot of other stuff and reading a lot of other stuff that's non-games related. But definitely, I'm going to want to talk about this one a bit more later because it is talking about how, you know, how we can use games you know, outside of just kind of simple, I won't say simple because there's nothing simple about it, but outside of entertainment, for pure entertainment or pleasure. The other book that I've been reading is Kurt Squire's Video Games and Learning, which is an interesting book. Let's say, I'll say that much. I don't know. I think it's a really great book for someone who's interested in getting into video games and learning video games and education to try to figure out where it started, how, you know, how we might get into it and what kinds of things can be done. And it's, like I said, it is interesting, probably, and more geared toward that audience than specifically for me. I have not finished the book, so I can't say anything about the end of it. And I'll reserve, final review for finishing it.
Good.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
I have been reading, actually, I just got an issue of a journal that I'd never seen before called Kill Screen. Donna lent that to Sam, who lent it to me. And it's pretty cool. It's not it's not an academic journal.
It's actually a games magazine is what it
it's
is.
It's a games magazine, but
it's beautiful.
It's absolutely beautiful.
What's it called again?
It's called Kill Screen.
Kill Screen, okay.
Yeah, it's a game magazine. I mean, and it's beautiful. It's got these great color pictures. It's bound like an academic journal kind of, but that's it's in full color. And it talks about games from a really kind of serious standpoint. And the articles are really well written. I've seen issues before, but you have to. He bought them at he bought that issue at a comic store in Chicago.
Right.
I wonder if the comic store here has them. I doubt it. Because, you know, we are still in small town Indiana.
Yeah.
But you can't usually buy it in the bookstore, like next to the other, you know, game magazines or what have you. And you have to order them online, either individual issues or subscribe. And I think the subscription is like, it comes out quarterly and I think it's $40 a year. So it's kind of pricey, but it is a beautiful magazine / journal.
Right. It really is. It looks like it's about a subscription. Yeah, $40, and it's about $15 an issue if you just want to get an issue. So
yeah.
But it's really great. So I read that. I read a lot. I've been reading. I have a Gender, Retina, Body class. I've been reading a lot of gender theory. But not much game theory. Although, there's a book coming out that I'm very excited for, and it's called... Oh, now I lost my notes. Let's see. Sorry for the click there. It's called Video Games and Psychotherapy. Or Psycho-Lolo-Therapy.
Oh, that
which I
great.
Wrote in the Google Docs. So, sorry, that's wrong. So, Video Games and Psychotherapy. So, I'm very excited to read that book. It sounds like it's... it sounds like it's... fairly legit and written by a pretty well respected psychologist, so I am looking, it's in my cart. I'm looking forward to purchasing that, so I will be able to talk about that soon, hopefully.
Somebody that sounds trains.
Not me.
Somebody sounds what?
Trains.
Oh, that's me. Trains. That's me. Also, for some reason my chair is like squeaking and it's showing up really loud on the thing, so.
Oh, I haven't heard your squeak yet, but I do hear your train.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's my train.
Wow, that sounds awesome. I mean, like I said, the two serious papers involving video games that I've been involved with that eventually did see, you know, some recognition. It did involve psychoanalysis in video games. So particular book, you know, or, you know, sounds really fabulous to me. That said, to continue what I've been most interested in this, you know, these few months, I was continuing my reading of Freud. I know, Freud. But anyway, Civilization and Its Discontents. And I think I spoke last time about the death drive and, you know, this renewed kind of interest in how video games shape our notions of death and this idea of saving points or whatever. You know, I mean, I think much could be made of that. But so other than continuing that kind of look and reading articles that I've seen in the news, I really can't say that I've read anything new. But certainly what Alex has just presented us with is something that I think I would be very interested in.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll have to purchase it and I can send it to you when I'm finished.
And perhaps that sounds like a good plan. Yeah. Or I'll purchase it and send it to you.
It is lendable.
I like that idea better.
Like it is.
Well,
lendable.
You're a grad student. Yeah. Anything free. You know.
That's true. We had a party for Feed the First Years, because the incoming TAs don't get paid until like September 30th or 29th or something crazy. So they have to work a month and a half without getting paid. So we had this party called Feed the First Year where everybody made like these huge dishes or some people sent like dry goods for them to take. But they were all being really polite, and so they weren't taking all the food, right? And almost all of them had left. And I stuffed my purse with food. Like, you wouldn't believe. So I stole food from people that we were donating food to. Doesn't that make me a horrible person?
No.
Yes.
It was so good, though. Oh, my God. The stuff that people made were good. It looks like I saw an empty Tupperware container, Sam, that looked like it had the remnants of your ziti in it. So someone here enjoyed
that. Listen, all I have to tell you, Alex, are two words. Charles Darwin. Survival of the fittest. I mean, you take it and run.
That's a good idea. So I'll convince people to feel sorry for other people and like give them stuff and then take a cut for myself.
There you go. You can call it a finder's fee.
That's right, a finder's fee. I like that. I think I'm getting this capitalism thing all worked out.
You got it. Yeah. Awesome.
What you drinking, Sam?
Yeah, well, we know what she's drinking.
I'm sorry, I was buying the psychotherapy book.
Oh, were you? So it looks like Sam's going to buy it and give it to me, and then I'll send it to you.
She's going
to
loan it through the rank. Yeah.
And I'll tell you the secret about loaning Amazon books. As long as you download it and then turn off your wireless so that the WhisperNet can't detect whether or not you still have it, it won't take it back.
She's crafty.
I know that because I borrowed a book from my mother, and the lending period was like 2 weeks, and you could only lend it like to somebody once.
Right.
And I wasn't finished with it.
It sounds sneakalicious.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
See, and that's a nice segue because speaking of
sneakalicious.
Uh-huh. Next time I'm drinking something different.
What are you drinking? What you always drink in there?
What I'm always drinking, but it's like I said, it's getting cold, so
you gotta go apple pie. I'm telling you.
I saw Sam host some red wine, which she usually does not do. How'd you feel the next day? Did you feel okay?
I was fine. There are certain red wines that I can drink because they're not as heavy in tannins, and Shiraz is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I can drink a Shiraz, and that's what I was drinking last night. They introduced me to the Tisdale, which is the favorite grad student cheap wine. It's like 12 bottles for a dollar or some shit like that.
It's three bottles for $9. Yeah, and like the tailgaters, the tailgaters group called themselves the Tisdale tailgaters. It's like it's a real big thing.
That sounds horrible. Yeah.
We emailed them and asked them for sponsorship. Yeah. That was after a couple bottles of the Tisdale.
Oh, boy.
So I did have a glass and a half of Tisdale last night.
Mm.
And it didn't kill me.
No.
Good.
I was very pleased with that.
I would imagine so.
What do you guys
think? I'm just imagining.
Well, for some reason, I've been like 60 years old this week. Because I went to the store and I bought a port wine cheese ball and a case of ginger ale.
Oh, good Lord. I thought you were going to tell us you bought us like a box of wine.
No, I've been drinking a lot of ginger ale and eating port wine cheese ball. I have a ginger ale in one hand and a Mound Builder in the other, which is a type of beer from People's, the brewery here. So that's what I'm drinking.
Yeah.
Only get like a half glass though, because I think I'm getting a cold. Can you guys hear me sniffling?
Yeah, I heard the sniffle. Yeah.
I don't know if it's colds or allergies, because my nose is stuffy too.
That's it. I usually don't have allergies, but yeah.
Allergies are in the air. If you look at the Weather Channel, they're saying who's got high allergens for
maybe
the
I
day.
Do have allergies, and I just
yeah. I mean,
I
like
colds.
I know that Michigan City is having like a high pollen day. I mean that you know whatever it's worth, but
what are you drinking there?
Well, my dear, you know, fellow podcasters, I'm having a little Absolute.
Ooh.
And
lemonade.
No, I'm going a little bit hardcore. Diet Sunkist. Yeah.
Oh,
it's
God.
That classy over here. That's right.
Orange soda.
Bring the class over here.
Sunkist isn't orange, is it? Isn't it like yellow?
Oh, it's
oh, orange. I'm thinking squirt.
Oh.
Yeah, it's orange.
Yeah, Diet Sunkist is orange pop. That's right.
I like orange pop.
Let me just say, when I was in high school, of course, when you're in high school, you're drinking whatever you can.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I used to drink tequila and orange pop.
Oh,
because I always had orange pop in the house.
Oh,
and tequila was like the one liquor that because my mother and stepfather kept the bar stock. But nobody ever drank the tequila, so I could drink the tequila without anybody knowing.
Mm. There's a reason we're friends, Sam.
So I used to drink tequila and orange pop, and since it was a regular thing, I just made it into a drink and started calling it the gay Mexican.
What?
Sun-kissed and tequila.
That is horrible.
Sheesh.
What's wrong with you?
That sounds
I'm gay.
Like
I can say those kinds
already.
Of things. Thank you very much.
You're Mexican, though.
I want the tequila.
Yeah, I see.
All right. But yeah,
that is crazy.
That is
I know it's pretty
okay.
funny, isn't it?
I didn't. Of all the things I expected to come out of your mouth, that was not one of them. Sam Blackman, you have surprised me tonight.
Oh.
Surprises me every night.
Gotta keep things fresh.
Yikes. That sounds like, yeah. Gross. Okay.
It was probably pretty disgusting. I don't even remember. That was like a long time ago.
I can't believe I can still drink tequila considering how much I drank in high school and middle school.
Ugh, I cannot do tequila. That is one that I cannot do.
I love me some tequila.
She just snuck in the fact that she said high school and middle school.
I know. She did say middle school.
Well, I had older siblings. So.
Uh-huh.
Way to pay attention, Samantha. That went right over my head.
Oh, yeah.
Nah,
that's how we roll, okay? You don't know how many things can be put in a water bottle and brought to a sporting event, all right?
Oh, God,
actually, I'm sure you do.
Sick. Yeah, okay.
News. Am I supposed to talk about the news since I posted them today?
Well,
I can only talk about one aspect of the news that I participated in.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to skip down the list a little bit because I have one that I love so much.
I'm going to steal the one I want to talk about.
Is it about Fox News?
No, go ahead.
Okay, so... Oh my gosh, I must have lasted for 5 minutes straight. Okay, so Fox News, there's a video up on gamepolitics.com. And it's a video of Fox News attacking people who make environmentally conscious video games as trying to manipulate and brainwash children to the liberalist agenda. Here are their examples. One, the McDonald's game, which, understandable, like, that is not any, no, pulls no punches about what it's trying to do, right? And their big qualm was that it was saying slaughtering instead of, like, they said Sesame Street, who uses fun, fuzzy puppets to try and get people to, like, recycle. But they said the word slaughter, which is totally ridiculous. And their big point was that these games are using fear tactics. Let me start over. So Fox News is claiming that these video games are so manipulative because they use fear tactics. So, I could say it a few more times for anyone who doesn't find the irony in that, right? Their big one that they were harping on is SimCity, a new SimCity game. It's called, like, World on Your Shoulder or something like that, or the world, Fate of the World. And that you get penalized for having really high pollution. And so this is outraging people.
Because you don't in the real world. Go ahead.
Exactly. Clearly. So they're because the exams are using fear tactics by penalizing you for not being environmentally conscious. And interspersed throughout this video are the pictures, is the video of the moms playing that game. What was that game that's like, your mom's going to hate this game?
Oh, boy.
What was that? Do you remember that game?
Ugh, I remember.
Like, I hate this, and yeah, they're showing the scared moms. So, like, throughout this, they're showing the moms playing and being like, this is horrible. This is so horrible. Right?
Yes.
And really, but it's like with cutscenes of Sims,
Dead Space,
Sim City, right?
Yeah, so. That was it.
Dead Space. That's right. Okay. So they're using the scared video of the moms to talk about how horrible and brainwashing these videos that try to get you to be environmentally conscious are, furthering the liberalist agenda. Fear tactics.
That was nice.
That's my favorite news. You have to watch the video. We can post it. It's hilarious. Mm-hmm. It's quite hilarious. So someone else can take one, so I don't take them all.
Okay, I want to take this one. I think the interesting one is the hidden, one of the secret achievements in Dead Island is the feminist whore achievement, which I think is pretty interesting. And Techland, the game publisher, I believe, came out and apologized for the what they called the anti-feminist slur. I'll have to read this. It's funny.
Yeah,
you should. It obviously violates professional and ethical standards at Techland and should never have happened. We are investigating this right now and will issue a statement later. For now, I can only express my sincerest apologies for this incident and assure you that whoever acted so irresponsibly did not represent the views and opinions of Techland. I'm equally sure that aside from the author of that unfortunate line of code, everyone at the office is as disturbed by this as you are. Let me just say, as someone who's played Dead Island, I call bullshit on that one.
Yes. Oh, I can't wait for this next part to come up. Go, Sam.
And because we're talking about that next, I'm not going to talk about that right now.
Oh, God. So good. So good. on this particular statement, he sounds so sincere, and I like that. Well, I have mixed feelings. I on one hand like that they're putting some onus on the coders. Like, look, you can't just hide behind these neutral lines of code and say anything you want. On the other hand, they can't pretend like this isn't representing their the climate in their business, because it's not one, just one person doesn't get this rogue line across, right? And if that did happen, then the video game should reflect their values, except for that one little part, which I know you're going to get into. So
I won't go there.
But it sounds so sincere to me. I want to be like, well, obviously he didn't know. Well,
yeah, okay.
And you can read my upcoming dissertation in 3 years if you want to learn more about coding and this type of thing.
Interessante.
That's my plug.
Okay. Yeah?
What about you, Sarah? We know which one you're taking. Go for it.
Well, actually, I did read the article about Slavery the Game.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. And I was like, okay. I mean, I was interested in you all's thoughts of this as well, because I was like, well, they're trying to say, oh, we were advertising to a younger group. You know, but it, as you say, you know, in our notes, it's Slavery the Game. Oh, it turns out to be a documentary. I mean, it didn't seem that way. I don't know. I don't know if there's a certain amount of, respect and ethics that were kind of I don't know, you know, I thought it was a very good news story in terms of what it was kind of asking us to take a look at. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts about it. So, I mean, Alex, you posted it, or, you know, Samantha, what do you guys?
I don't know. I think it's pretty interesting. I mean, because it was, you know, that's their take on viral marketing or what have you. And it does make light of a serious subject in many ways. But I don't think that there was anything offensive in what I saw. In the original kind of Slavery the Game promo video. It's been a while since I've seen it. It's been a couple of weeks since I've seen it. But I don't remember there being anything like offensive in the promo itself. Now, the thought of it as a game and you being able to discipline and exploit slaves, you know, did have its issues.
the idea of it being trivialized and marketed as a quote unquote game. You know, I mean, I think that's probably what.
Well, we do plenty of stuff like that as games. I mean, we've got all the games that come out of
killing babies.
Right. I mean, we've got serious games that do that all the time. So I don't know that's any different from like the Haiti game and the what was the other one? You know, the one that the African genocide game. Where you have to
Are you talking about the Darfur game?
Yeah.
Dying for Darfur?
Darfur's dying. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
Where you have to like escape the Janjaweed and not be raped and murdered or, you know, otherwise tortured.
And of course you can't escape.
Right, and there is no escape. Right. Mm. So I don't know that I don't see that necessarily as trivializing it, because we've seen some solid examples of taking some controversial, heart-wrenching, horrible issues and making them into serious games in a way that help people understand or feel the sense of helplessness.
Well, right. Yeah, and I think I would add to that, because I was sort of like, well, that would make an interesting game, you know. Where I remember I pushed it kind of forward in my head, and I thought, well, that would kind of put us in an interesting psychological, you know, position if they did ask us to turn it. If it, you know, what I mean, like if it wasn't just a documentary, if it was a game, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the reason I posted is because of the discussions we've been having lately about trying to represent really difficult issues as respectfully as possible. And I think this is one of the
from
times...
From history, right?
Yeah. Right, exactly. And so I think this is one of the occasions when I saw it, I thought about the context of it. If Rockstar had put out a similar commercial, I don't think I would have taken it the same way as people who did this documentary, who obviously really are invested in it and made this. I don't think it was like... I don't think it was they were trying to make it trivial, right? Certainly, but they were
trying to appeal.
Yeah, they're. I mean, I think it was they were sort of making a point, you know. And like Sam was saying, I saw that and wasn't immediately offended. And what that taught me is that these types of things can't be divorced from the context in which they come from, right?
Right. Yeah. No, I accept that.
Like right. if we came out with some sort of Duke Nukem type character, right? People would obviously know that we're trying to critique something because of our stance all of the time, you know.
Right.
So
I thought all these things that we've said here, I think of course are completely excellent, but you know. The fact that it turns out to be a documentary, you know, they're using sort of a, I don't know, as a practitioner of creative writing, fiction, nonfiction, creative nonfiction, you know, I find it very fascinating that they are using a documentary style to, you know, this sort of fictitious game. You know, I mean, I just, again, I see it as an interesting blend of the genres and what they're trying to do, but... yeah, the news story that I can shed the most light upon, I do believe, is the one that was posted that says, Glenn Beck hates new game, Tea Party Zombies Must Die. This is a first-person shooter, and I couldn't resist. I'm like, all right, I'm heading into this. Did either of you guys try to play it?
No,
okay.
I haven't.
Okay, did you try to play it, Alex?
Alex went to get water.
Okay. She is away. But anyway, I I did, in fact, try to play it. It's scary as hell with the little sound effects. You know, there's like this like zombie sound, and roar, you know. And if you click on it and you go to the news story, there's one more click. You have to go to the game itself. And I thought, all right, let me see what this is about. So there's the scary sound effects. I had to turn it way down because I'm like, I can't handle this. And you can have a little option of meeting the zombies, and you can confront an angry white guy who has like a red, white, and blue tie, a sort of ambiguous, generic blonde Fox commentator. You know, she's coming at you with these giant boobs, and she's been like, I think they said genetically engineered. And then what I suppose is the part that pushes it to the limits is that they actually put, you know, the heads of real people upon these zombies. So you have to shoot and kill Sean Hannity, what's his name, Bill O'Reilly, Newt Gingrich. And then as the boss battles proceed, you do, in fact, confront a Sarah Palin zombie and a Michelle Bachmann zombie, which, politics aside,
those the big bosses.
The big boss, of course, is Glenn Beck. But, I'm gonna admit that I was, I know that, like, Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann are kind of, in the media anyway, sort of depicted as, like, the Tea Party darlings. But at the same time, I'm like, is there a sexist kind of agenda? You know, like, why am I shooting these two? You know, like, I don't know. Maybe he's a woman shooting. I don't know. It could just be something with me. But that was something I felt in myself, and which I always think is worth noting, right, when you feel a certain tension. Mm-hmm. And then what you do is you shoot these people. It's not, I don't know, maybe it's funny, maybe it's not. But anyway, you are in a courtyard, you shoot your way up, you get these shotguns, you get a machine gun, you get, you know, melee weapons. I ended up with like this really awesome axe. But you are going into Fox News headquarters, and there's been a zombie apocalypse. Okay, like there's one TV that's showing static, and, you know, it's not inhabited, it's not peopled. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's been through some sort of like, you know, apocalypse. So you're going through and you're advancing up these different levels. And the where I stopped anyway, I'm not going to say that you can't, you know, progress past a certain level, but where I finally was defeated, I could not get past Glenn Beck. He kept killing my ass.
Did he cry on you?
Oh my God. No, well, not Glenn Beck. Maybe John Bonner or Boner, whatever the guy's name is.
I think it's Boehner, but
Boehner, yeah, maybe if he was in there.
He already looks back like a zombie anyway. They probably didn't have to do anything.
Oh, my God. Oh yeah, all I know is Glenn Beck was this like fat ass zombie coming at me, and I am machine gunning him to death, and I could put him down on his butt. And they told me instructions once, and I didn't pay attention. Okay, like, I'm like, okay, fuck, whatever. You know,
you don't read all the rules every time you play. What the hell kind of gamer are you?
I totally don't. And so I'm like, I'll figure it out.
You are so full of shit.
I know.
And so, yeah, don't, yeah, Alex. So anyway, I was like, I put him out on his butt, and I'm like, fuck, what am I supposed to do now? You know, because he keeps getting back up. I'm shooting him, getting back up. Anyway, he killed me like four times in a row, and that's where I'm like, whatever, I'm not that invested in this game, you know.
Right.
And he had a little blonde Fox News, you know, minion with the giant boob. She was coming to get me too, and so, you know, I could kill her, but he was impossible to kill. So, what was interesting too, and having played through it, I can share it. If you kind of progress to a certain level, they would give you sort of, depends on your political bent, I suppose, Tea Party facts or, you know, statistics or, you know, most of Fox News people believe this or, you know, Tea Party proponents think this. So they were trying to intersperse this zombies must die, kind of trying to put it into a political context of giving you truth, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it was fun. I didn't mind shooting these zombies. I did feel a little uncomfortable killing real, again, quote unquote, scare quotes. I'm popping Sean Hannity in the face. You know, I'm like, I don't know what I think about this. You know, So anyway, that's my zombie news.
That's your zombie news. There seems to be lots of zombies this week.
I know. Zombies all the way down today.
I know. Very cool.
I like it. What's next? Do we have more news?
Well, I think that's good for news. We don't want to take up all our time.
Yeah, there's something else good on there.
Let's bounce over to the issue of the week.
What about my indie games?
We can.
I played the game.
Indie games. We'll talk about the indie games after we talk about our issue of the week.
What is our issue of the week?
Well, it's not really an issue.
Yeah, we don't have an issue.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know. I'm like, am I missing it?
It's not really an issue this week.
Right. We've been blabbering for 45 minutes. Do you realize this?
Sorry. I'm sorry. That was probably me going on way too long about Tea Party Zombies, but it was fun.
That was an appropriate amount of time.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, that was. well, I think that it's not really an issue, but what we're going to talk about this week is basically kind of revisiting representation, and it's not revisiting in any specific way, like a thematic way, mm-hmm. but it's more of revisiting representation and talking about some of the games that we've played this week, because mm-hmm. Alex and I have been doing a lot of gaming together this week, oddly enough.
I don't think it's very odd.
It's so odd, you guys. What's going on?
It's so odd.
It's been really nice because Sam, no matter what, whether she ordered it and it's not going to come for a week or whatever, will have the game on that day. It's magical. So like, when's your game coming? Oh, not till next Saturday. And then she shows up on Wednesday with it. It's it's very interesting how that all works out. But and then you yell at me for having you blow through your yearly gaming budget in January.
I told you I'm horrible at. Mm-hmm. I can't wait.
I know.
Like when I was a grad student, I was one of those people who could never like put things in layaway when layaway still existed.
What's layaway?
That's funny. That okay. All right. That was my night right there. What's layaway?
You know, because I need everything now. Yeah. I have poor impulse control.
Except when you are gaming, you have all of the control and patience in the universe. I don't understand it.
No, well, but you know what, Samantha, I'm gonna accept, because today I was talking to one of my students, and we were talking about movies, and I've gotten so used to this, like Amazon, I'm gonna stream it. You know, if I want to see it, I want to see it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And same thing. And I thought to myself, this is becoming crazy. I'm becoming such a techno freak that if I can't have it immediately, I don't want it.
Yeah. It's gotten to the point that I think I'm going to go ahead and cancel my Gamefly subscription because I can't even wait for shit to come to me from my queue.
That is what happens with Netflix. For,
Well, except for the fact that I can get stuff, you know, that is not going to show up in Redbox because it's kind of strange, obscure Japanese RPG shit.
That would be a good place for it, that kind of
yeah,
shit.
And that's not coming to Redbox. Redbox is only getting mainstream big ticket shit. Like Dead Island.
Which is understandable. I mean, right. They can only do so much.
Right, they can only hold so many. So, I have poor impulse control. So I've run out to, at least now I've gotten to the point that I run to Redbox and rent it for a night or two while I wait for my copy to come instead of just buying it and ending up with two copies, which I have been known to do. Never repeat that. Anybody who just heard that, never repeat that. It's not true.
I was going to say, not only is that true, it is true so often, it is ridiculous.
Uh-oh.
Oh, just kidding.
Yeah.
That being said, and I think the discussion tonight, I think, comes from this great post that Alex put up about representation of women on the blog today.
Yay, Alex.
Which made me start thinking about other representations we've seen this week. When she and I have been playing Deus Ex for the last 2 weeks, Deus Ex and Dead Island. So I started thinking about representation of African-Americans in general, but more specifically African-American women. So there's another post that's going to be going up in the morning. That's kind of
very excited for that.
my response post to Alex's post. I didn't want to steal her thunder, so I'll wait until tomorrow to post mine, but I think it's really interesting. But I guess that's kind of what I want to talk about. And why I you know, call Techland on their shit about Dead Island and feminist whore being a, you know, being some kind of rogue coder who wrote this offensive line of code, an offensive title for this fucking secret achievement. Yeah, that was totally and completely intentional. And they just got caught. And it was, oh God, yeah, they got caught. And it was, and not caught in that somebody found out, but somebody found out and thought it wasn't funny.
Okay.
And that's what they're sorry for. They're sorry that, you know, everybody didn't go, hee, 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 feminist whore. That's what they're sorry for. I mean, because just in the game itself, in the four characters you can play, right? I mean, it's because it's got kind of your regular RPG, your regular RPG categories. You've got your berserker. You've got your
martial
artist. Your berserker is going to be your melee expert. You've got your
knives
your knife expert and your gun expert. So you've got the four genres covered right there, right? So you and your characters are your melee expert. Your berserker is a black guy from New Orleans who is the son of a convict who died in prison and a crack whore. And yeah,
he's from the Ninth Ward.
Yeah, he's from the Ninth Ward in New Orleans, and you know, and he's from the Ninth Ward. He's from the Ninth Ward, bruh.
Yeah,
bruh. Yeah, and it's and yeah. The characterization and the voicing is absolutely incredible.
And then he became a rapper.
And his famous rap song is
"Who Do You Voodoo, Bitch?"
Yes, on that, when I watched my thing on YouTube, my walkthrough, that song got stuck in my head. I'm like, voodoo, voodoo, bitch. And I'm like, this is so catchy. I hate it.
Immediately. Everything about that character is, like Sam was saying, is so ridiculous. I can't do the accent, but it's, oh, man.
Yeah, you've got to check it out. Just, you know, maybe I'll put a link to the to a YouTube walkthrough or something so that you can actually hear the voicing in my posts for in the morning. And then you have your knife expert who is
small Asian woman.
Was a small Asian woman who graduated at the top of her class because, of course, she's very smart.
Mm-hmm.
There's mention of like an Asian mafia kind of thing going on, and there's all kinds of fun stuff involved with her as well, and she's your knife expert. There is your gun expert who appears to be a woman of African descent, but is supposed to be half Aborigine, but does not look like an Aborigine. So clearly she's not, I don't think she's supposed to be half Aborigine, half white, because she's, but that's not to say that all people who are half Aborigine, half or mixed race are light complected, but she's very dark complected. She's got braids.
She's very angry.
She's very angry.
I personally sort of like her characterization, but
I don't know. I think her character's been a bit colonized. Because she has left all quote unquote Aboriginal trappings behind and has kind of joined the mainstream society in such a way that she has even become law enforcement. Until she got angry and as she says, gelded a guy who molested a 14-year-old and lost her job.
She gelded him. I wonder what that means.
She shot him in the junk, man.
Okay, yeah. Ironic. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
So that's an interesting representation. And then your martial arts-ish expert is an ex-football player who loses his career after drag racing drunk.
Mm-hmm.
He's into pills and booze and fast women.
And mohawks.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And I mean, and these are the characters that you start out. These are the characters, the protagonists that you have to choose from to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't even start to talk about the representations of other folks that you see in the game themselves. Yeah. You know, the women in the game are usually crying or bitching to high heaven because somebody's done something that they don't approve of.
Or they're trying to rip your throat out because they're a zombie. But that, I don't think counts.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. It's very interesting to say the very least. So, I mean, when we start talking and thinking about these representations in game, and not even talking about the gameplay itself, which is a whole nother issue, we start talking about these representations in game.
Mm-hmm.
How they can say that feminist horror as a secret achievement was a mistake, I don't know.
The interesting thing is that when I, at first, I kind of liked it because the characters, before I listened to them, of course, because they had such a mix of representation, and I thought, you know, this is sort of interesting. You don't just have, you know, the sort of grizzled, muscular white guy that you, protagonist that you can play.
Yeah.
But, you know, they had a diverse group of protagonists, and I really liked it. And then, you get into their stories, their little introductions that they do.
Yep.
And I think I think we're at the point now where it's not just good enough to represent other races. We talked about, I think on the last podcast, like at one point, Lara Croft was so wonderful because she was the first representation we had, but we're so far past being the first representation of Asian women, especially, and other races and things, and that I don't think that there's an excuse for going to such ridiculous offensive stereotypes anymore, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I guess I want to be fair and say, like, I like, you know, that we had a diverse group, but it's, yeah.
Right.
I think we're beyond that. I think we're way past that now,
which is
why I agree, Sam, that it's tough to believe that feminist horror line didn't completely reflect the culture in their business.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can't say, oh, we would never say feminist horror, you know, but you got, you know, a rapper with a convict father and a crack whore mother.
Right.
You know, I find that difficult to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Who's also a rapper, mind you.
Yeah.
Who interestingly enough, as I haven't gotten to the end of the game, who is also, this is known early in the game, it's not a spoiler, but, you know, turn your device down for 30 seconds if you don't want to hear this, who's also immune to the infection of the zombies.
Mm-hmm.
So there's almost the implication that he himself is part zombie.
Hmm.
Or these cats, I'm sure it's true of all the protagonists,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it would have to be to explain, you know, why you don't die.
That they're immune to the virus.
With the, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I want to go through and play some of the other characters and figure out if they also have that same trait.
Yeah, I want to play the Aboriginal woman. I really liked her. And until you said the colonized thing, I really liked her character because she's like this sort of strong woman who sort of didn't fit into society and was, you know, like, F it. Which I don't think, like, her characterization is perfect by any means, but at least it didn't, you know, fall into the damsel in distress stereotype or the, you know, weak woman stereotype. But, yeah, I think you've changed my opinion. I was going to argue with you, and now I'm not going to.
Oh. Wow. Wow. Samantha wins.
That is a good point.
Score
for the Samantha.
And like to talk about representation. Okay, I got to talk about Deus Ex. You know, because I was kind of excited. I was kind of excited about Deus Ex taking place, the first part of it anyway, in Detroit. Because I'm from Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But of course, you know, it's it's all crazy. It's all crazy, and you know, has these. It's being rebuilt at this point, right? It's post-apocalyptic. Mm-hmm. You know, the same way that Detroit usually gets represented, but it's being rebuilt at this point. So I was kind of excited about that. But when you actually get past a certain point in the game and start to wander around, this has been all over the internet, so I'm sure that you've seen it at this point. You come into contact with these NPCs that you get to, you know, talk to. And the way that these Detroiters, I suppose, are portrayed are very problematic, right? Because not only Detroiters, but I mean specifically if the one that's hit the internet has been the African American woman Letitia, who is a bag lady / trash lady. So she's picking the garbage can when you find her. And she has this step and fetch it caricature about her. The vernacular she uses, the intonation, the accent she uses, you know, as someone who done work in sociolinguistics and lived in Detroit for 30 years, I can tell you there ain't nobody in Detroit that talk like that. It is so offensive. It is so problematic. It's like, she sounds like a step and fetch a drag queen, because it's clearly, if you listen at points, it's clearly a man who is doing this woman's voice as well. Either that or it's a woman who's been smoking cigars for 30 fucking years. But I'm pretty sure it's a man as well. So it's extremely problematic for a number of reasons. I'm not going to tell you too much about it, folks, because guess what? You can actually, if you read my blog post tomorrow, you'll get a chance to see the video as well. Or you can just look it up on YouTube if you're dying to see it right now. It's
I am dying to see it right now.
It's called Letitia the Trash Lady. Don't you do it, because you got to turn it up to listen, and we don't want to hear it, Sarah.
I won't.
This might be a good time to read one of the email shout-outs that we have, because it's about Deus Ex and representation.
Yes.
What do you think, Sam?
Fine. Let's go ahead and do that. You want to read it, or you want me to?
You go for it.
Okay. Well, this
I'm
will
sick
be
a- of saying Deus Ex.
Well, we have an email from Richard Jones about Deus Ex, who said his email reads, I'm glad you mentioned Deus Ex on the blog, because the Minority Perspectives thread on the Something Awful forums has been a buzz about some of the issues with the game and how it treats non-white characters in the universe, which is a pity because it is otherwise a good game. I'll talk about that too in a minute. While the rest of the forum has brushed aside complaints about blatant minstrel show stereotypes, mammy caricatures, gang members who are unfamiliar with basic English words like suspicious, or our hero telling an Asian character that you people all look the same, or the BBEG being a dragon lady caricature as us being oversensitive, politically correct, or worse, ignorant of just how Black people talk. God, where have I heard that? Many of us have been uncomfortable with how racist the game can be at times. I mean, and I think Richard is absolutely right here. I mean, what they have kind of tried to pawn off as environmental flavor is so problematic.
That's right.
It's horrible. You know, because you encounter these gang members, even from the very beginning, because, you know, they are who is working for, you know, the gang members are working for this guy that you're dealing with. Let's just say that. I don't want to tell too much about the gameplay itself. So you get to not only kind of come into contact with them one-on-one, but you also get a lot of ambient conversation. So you can't even avoid it. It is just kind of like you're deluged with it kind of nonstop, because it's a game that also requires, and this is always problematic for me, requires a lot of stealthiness. I'm a run and gun kind of girl. I want to go in and blast the shit out of everybody and just get done what I need to get done.
Yeah, this is why after playing Deus Ex and Dead Island, I loved Deus Ex, but I don't know. I think if I'm gonna buy one, I think it's gonna be Dead Island, because I just want to smash the crap out of some people. I don't want to conserve bullets. Ugh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's dumb. I hate that kind of stuff.
Anyway, the game really is very good, I think. In a lot of respects.
And it's a beautiful game. It's a beautiful game.
It's a good story.
There's a good story.
Well, the way that I approached it is from what I'd read from reviews in terms of Deus Ex, is that it was offering viewers, they were saying, an unprecedented amount of choice. Whatever that means. You know what I'm saying?
Although we didn't play through very much, so maybe the beginning is more restrictive.
It could be, you know, but what was being touted is Deus Ex Human Revolution is giving you players sort of this open world, and they are dictating within certain parameters the narrative and how it will proceed.
That's just not at all the feeling I'm getting. Sam?
Yeah.
You're further than I am.
Yeah, well, I'm wondering. Because there are points where you are asked questions. I mean, even at the very beginning, Alex, I mean, where you're asked, how do you want to proceed? Do you want to run and gun and do this kind of secretly? Do you just want to go through the front door and blast shit? I mean, and I answered I don't want to, I'm not stealthy. I don't want to do the stealthy thing. And they're still forcing me to be stealthy.
Right.
Which has been problematic. And I've got way too many hours in, and I'm at a point that now I'm going to have to go back and restart from the beginning because I've saved over my good save spot. I saved over my good. That's a stupid thing to do, folks. Never do that. Well, I saved over my good save spot, and now I'm stuck someplace where I clearly need to be stealthy for, and I can't go back. So I'm going to have to start over again. But, you know, that being said, I don't know that there's a whole lot of choices. I don't know that there's necessarily, I won't say a whole lot of choice. There is choice, definitely. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that there's necessarily more choice than we've seen in other RPGs in the past. Right. I think maybe there's more choice than we generally see in first-person shooters. And that's because this feels very much like another one of the blended genre games. It's not just a first-person shooter. And I think that that's why I can actually play it. I rarely play first-person shooters anymore, simply because I'm getting older. My reflexes are slowing down. but it has RPG elements. And you would think, you know, since my reflexes are slowing down, that I would appreciate the stealthiness. The only part of stealthiness I like is, like, being able to go into a heavily populated enemy area and use my elbow blades to, like, shake the shit out of somebody. But, you know, that's a whole nother story.
Yeah, I think you're right. Perhaps my issues with the gameplay are more because I'm just not ready to get involved in a game right now. And I think you have to be pretty involved in that one. Mm-hmm. And I'm more about, like, I have 45 minutes, I just want to shoot the crap out of somebody, or more, mm-hmm. or even better, I want to smash the crap out of some heads with an oar, or a pipe, or something. So, maybe I'll give it a try, maybe over Christmas break again, or fall break.
I was like, Christmas break?
Sorry, fall break.
I was like, dude, that's so far away. Yeah, I don't know. You know, like, that's what I was responding to in terms of the context of my blog was about, when we talked about religion and games, right. And I saw this as, like, this sort of interesting,
right.
This idea that games, to me, what I said in my blog is that it seems to me one of the ultimates in gameplay that a lot of designers, conceptualists, whatever, are heading towards is, you know, choice. The more choice a player has, the better, quote unquote, the game will be. And so that's what I was responding to, because, you know, ultimately, I was saying that's sort of metaphoric of if you're Christian or whatever, that we have a creator who is giving us joys and kind of playing with us. So anyway, that's why that game stuck out to me, I think. Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
So, I mean, kind of in a nutshell, you know, Richard writes in his email about, you know, what's going on in the Something Awful forums. And I think that you guys that are feeling uncomfortable about what he calls this minstrel show are kind of spot on.
Yeah.
The shit's just not right. I mean, it is so problematic in many ways. Right. And the ways that we see folks of color represented in games is not only with their character and their caricature, but, you know, also kind of, you know, with their linguistic differences, right? You know, and the exaggeration, extreme exaggeration to the point of being absolutely fucking ridiculous most times, mm-hmm. of especially Black folks and Asian folks. And of course, you know, all folks of color, when you talk about Black folks, are mammies or whores. So, you know, you're either the hot and top Venus with exaggerated asses and other kind of sexualized features, or you are, you know, the mammy character. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing we're seeing over and over again in these games. And people are failing to see it as problematic. You know, and the folks that, you know, that say you're just being politically correct or being oversensitive or are ignorant of saying that you're being ignorant of just how Black people talk. No, they're being fucking insensitive, politically incorrect. And they are the ones who are completely ignorant of just how Black people talk. Because, hello, I'm Black and I don't talk like that.
Well, I think one of the other things, too, in response to Richard's point at the end about people saying that we're oversensitive and we're just trying to be politically correct, mm-hmm. and so forth, is that we can't separate these things from their sort of historical and cultural positions. Mm-hmm. So perhaps you know a Black person who talks like a Black person does in the game, right? But you have to sort of look at like the wider implications of how these stereotypes have been used against races and to be dismissive and to tear other people down. It's not just about representation. It's about what that representation does to real people, I guess. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. That makes perfect sense.
And I think
the context.
Yeah, the context. So like I think about okay, so a woman has bigger boobs in this game than she would in real life, or a smaller waist. Like that in and of itself is nothing. But if mm-hmm. you put it in the context of mm-hmm. how women have, you know, like the male gaze and how women have been constantly put up as these sexual objects, and mm-hmm. not just sexual objects, but sexual objects in order to strip them of any power they could possibly have, and putting them in a culture that rapes them and yep. so forth, right? Like, that's the problem. It's not necessarily that the waistline's smaller or that this person's using words that this person's not using. I think it's the mm-hmm. it's the real implications that it has for us.
Right, absolutely.
That was a little high horsey, I'm sorry.
No, I don't think so at all. Because I don't think that you can look at these games. I mean, you know, we talked about the male gaze in my class. I mean, I don't think you can take a look at these games. And we talked about Lara Croft, giant breasts, tiny waist. I mean, you cannot look at these games without their larger implications. I mean, I think it's irresponsible. And I think as gamers, it's sort of our responsibility to say, yes, we do see these within a context. Right. You know, we see, you know, the guys with the giant muscles, and we understand what that could mean for a 15-year-old male, you know, who doesn't look like that, and what it might mean to him. Or look at, you know, Lara Croft, or, you know, whatever games we're playing and how these games are going to impact us. I think we have to look at how the real-world applications are.
Right, because they could say, like, oh, lighten up, you know, it's just a game, blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, like, it's not, you know? Like, it's not a joke. It has really serious implications for us.
And I think that it is important that we are the ones who say that, because we're the ones that play them. And we are saying back to the people who design them, and we're saying, listen, this is not what we want. We want things that are valid or real, you know, like... You know, yeah. We didn't get to the indie game. I played Ruin Spell Overture, okay, and is what my indie game was. And I was sitting there and I was playing through it, and I'm like, God, you rarely see someone overweight in a video game,
right?
And if they are, they're evil, they're villainous,
or stupid.
Often, yeah, or stupid, and. What, the average size of most women is like a 16, 14?
Yeah, I think 16, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, like, we don't look like what these games are offering us.
Right. No.
Right. So, I mean, it is important for us to take a look. We are the voice of...
But that's why, that's at least for myself, I know it's not just being sensitive or, like, paying lip service to some political correctness.
Mm-hmm.
That that's how I would say that's where those types of people's arguments will fall apart every single time. So that's what you can say back to them, Richard.
Well, I'm absolutely, I agree 100%. You know, I mean, until we see, well, even I would say gamers in games, advertising, whatever, until we see who we are reflected back to us, it's just a bunch of crap.
Well, and that's why I wrote, that's one of the reasons I wrote the blog that I did this week, because you're never going to be able to represent everybody, you know, like not everybody's going to see yourself in their character. Right. And there may not be some universal law that we can apply or give to game developers, say, use this law and you won't offend anybody, right? That doesn't exist. But I think that what we can do instead of just criticizing, which I think we do, the three of us do quite well, which is to go beyond and look at the people who are doing it well. Like, we've talked a lot about The Longest Journey on the podcast that we talked about on the podcast, right?
Yeah.
And other games who do representations well, which, and then hopefully I think that maybe will be a helpful guide for game developers. Like, I heard so many, who's the woman on Longest Yard? Is that April Ryan?
April Ryan.
So I heard, when I was looking through forums a couple of days ago before I was writing this post, so many people thought April Ryan was the best video game protagonist of all time. Like, people really, even, like, not even on, like, female-specific sites or anything, mm-hmm. people were saying, like, how she's one of the most rounded-out, realistic characters, and I think, like, that sort of positive feedback, coupled with the negative feedback to the constant white male protagonist, would maybe get some new protagonists made for us. Anyway, yes.
Well, I think that that was kind of a good segue.
Yeah.
Into our indie games of the week. And I know that Alex is dying to tell us about what she's been playing.
Well, not dying. I played Puzzle Pirates. That was my indie game of the week. It was free on Steam. So, I think it's still free on Steam right now.
Yeah, it is.
And it's a really weird game. It's another one of those blended genre games. It reminds me a little bit of Tiny Bang Story, Tiny Bang Planet, or whatever it was.
Tiny Bang Story.
Yeah, Tiny Bang Story. In that you sort of have like this wider narrative that you go in and play these little puzzles, which seems to be a recurring trope in these indie games that I'm playing, as I find. But it also has sort of like a MMO component to it. Like,
right, it does.
Right. So like, that's sort of like another interesting level. So it's like three different genres. And then also has like a Sims element to it, where you play these puzzles, you get money, and then you can like kind of, you know, buy furniture and stuff for your, what do they call it? Your home, but yeah, I don't know. It has some sort of funny name. So, it's interesting. I think that if I were maybe in my teens or something, I would find it much more compelling, or maybe like middle school. I would find it much more compelling.
Ouch.
No. I mean, it's just sort of wholesome, right?
It is. You know what? It's very wholesome. And I have to say, because I played Puzzle Pirates.
You said you played it.
Right, because I was actually in a community, and I won't say too much because I don't know how much I'm supposed to say. I was actually with a community with the designer of Puzzle Pirates. So even from the kind of early stages when the beta test, and this was years ago, when the beta testing was just starting and some of the early work was being done, I played a lot of Puzzle Pirates. I played a lot of Puzzle Pirates, one, because I wanted to help them beta test it, and two, simply because, you know, it was a lot of, it's kind of like, there are games in there that are kind of like Bejeweled kind of games, and other kind of flashy click-through, you know, kind of flashy
spatial games and puzzly games.
And right. And there's lots of puzzle games. And there is the MMO component where you have to, you know, you go on and you walk around and you interact with other people and you go into like the little pub and you play, you know, what looks like a drinking game at the table, but then you open it up and it becomes a game that you're more familiar with, another puzzle game that you're more familiar with. So I played a lot of it a long time ago.
Well, I'm glad I said I liked it now. That would have been embarrassing if I was like, this is terrible. anyway, keep going.
But it's good for casual gaming. It's good for just kind of, you know, I need to chill out. It's not one of those I need vodka and to bash the shit out of zombie day games.
Right.
That we all have, and if you don't want to admit it, so what? I will.
What I like about it, too, it's like you're saying, it's one of those that you can go to and play for 15 minutes and get a lot out of it. Because sort of like the games you have in your phone, like you don't have to invest a ton in it in order to have fun.
Right. Absolutely.
But it is wholesome.
It is wholesome. It's pretty wholesome. That's okay.
I think that's great. In fact, all of the indie games that I've reviewed so far have been totally wholesome. So.
Mine was. You know, I alluded to it before. It's Rune Spell Overture. Now, I am a huge, Gauntlet. I loved Gauntlet on a PS2. I didn't play it in the arcade, but I did play Gauntlet with my cousin. And you know, a lot of the games that we nostalgically think back upon are probably games that it depends on who we played with or the, you know, where we were doing it. But Gauntlet for me has warm memories. So I was like, oh, you had to get runes, you know, and Gauntlet, I'm going to play Rune Spell Overture. So I play this game and, which was interesting because instead of having straight up battles like sword fights, I don't know if you guys, either one of you,
We reviewed it a couple weeks ago, I think.
Did you? All right. Well, apparently I'm behind. But anyway,
that's okay.
with the card game thing, I mean, that to me was the most compelling. I don't know poker. You know what I mean? Like this, but it was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, totally wholesome. I don't mean to retread where we've been, but I played, you know, quite a ways in it. I was completely enwrapped. Yeah. But I've told you before, I don't really like those strongly violent ones. I don't like having to like kill. You know, that's why I was like, oh, this is fun. I have to have like a card showdown. Like this to me was very appealing. You know, I'd rather do that than, which is probably why Deus Ex Human Revolution. You know, like first person shooters. Is there something else I can do that's more creative?
Yeah.
It's not for me, so I didn't mind the little like card game showdown. I liked it. Now that I've played it.
But I appreciate that you liked it.
Why did you not like it?
I like bashing the shit out of zombies.
Oh, you like to like fucking straight up kill people, but I don't know.
I see what you're saying. I like that other people like that kind of game. I want that kind of game to exist in the world.
Well, and I don't know what it means to me that I... Don't. You know, like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's fine. I think that's great. I don't know where we're going next. Sam, do you have an indie game?
No.
Okay. There's a couple of really interesting issues on the, in the rest of the viewer mail, or listener mail. There's one that I want to save, because I have to do, there's something that Carl asked about. Hypermasculinity in video games. And I have to do a research presentation in a couple weeks on masculinity and hypermasculinity. So if we could put a pin in that one and save that, I have lots of great things to say about that.
Well, you know what? We're going to hold off on Carl altogether because he also asked specifically. He had two emails in in the last couple of weeks, which I think is great. And Carl, we're really going to get to your emails. and see, we are so interested in your email, Carl, that we're holding off to do more research to answer your question because his other question was specifically about Persona 4, which I have rented from Gamefly 15 freaking times and never played. But I just got it in the mail again yesterday, and I'm going to make Alex Lane sit down with me and play through Persona 4.
Should we make that our next Wednesday game?
We can make that our next Wednesday game, or we can make that our tomorrow game while we're working on our conference proposal.
Okay.
You guys, what is it, Bulletstorm?
You should tell Carl, how sad you were when you read the teaser on the email.
Yeah, Carl, you really hurt my feelings because he wrote this. He wrote us this email, and the teaser came across on my phone, and only like the first line came across. And it starts out, there's one sentence and the first two words of the first three words of the second sentence came across, and it was, all right, just finished listening through all your episodes, kind of disappointed because, and I was and like, oh my off. God.
Like, what do we do to Carl?
What do we do to him? But the rest of the sentence is, now I don't have anything to play Civ 5 or Angry Birds to, which really made me feel a whole lot better. Carl, see, now you got a new episode. And we'll always be here for you. At least until we kill each other.
Well, no.
I can't even get through a day where Sam doesn't threaten to slap the shit out of me. However, yes. There's another person that she sees just as often as me, and she threatens to stab the shit out of him. So I feel like I'm still on her good side.
Listen. I've already told you. I am an hour and a half to the north. If Samantha's going to kill you, you come up here.
Can I bring smalls?
Go by the lake. I got you covered.
All right. Okay? All right. Done.
Now, Samantha, we were talking prior to this podcast. Do we drop the teaser?
That's right. Are we done with everything else? I think we are, right?
Well,
yeah.
I think it's time, guys. Come on.
Are we gonna drop our little free?
Oh, let's talk about what? Yeah. Let's
or
talk
should we about do the time. Deals real quick?
Well, yeah, well, there's
Maybe. Let's do deals for broke-ass gamers.
Okay, so I'll go through them super quick.
Deal for a broke-ass gamer out there.
Yeah, that's right. That would be perfect. Okay, super quick. On Steam, the Need for Speed franchise games are 50 to 75% off. And the other cool thing that's happening is there's Steam trades now, which are just where you can trade Steam gifts in games. Valve games, Team Fortress 2, Portal 2, Spiral Knights, Three Rings, and Sega. You can trade items and inventories with other users, which I think maybe isn't cool right now, but it could be really, really freaking cool if you can trade things with other users in games going forward from there. So I think that's pretty awesome. Amazon, Black Ops is $10 off, and then buy one, get one free on select games, Fallout, a bunch of Mario games, and a bunch of Lego games. Done. Go.
Awesome.
All right. So here's the deal. The ultimate deal for a broke-ass gamer. We are hosting our first.
Yes.
Woo-hoo. First of at least two.
Absolutely, yes.
Kind of contest thing. So, you already listened to us. What we want you to do is post a comment on iTunes. And what we're going to do is, on our next show, we're going to use a random number generator and choose from the comments posted on iTunes, under our iTunes feed, choose a winner. And what does that winner get? How about this?
She will get a free copy of DSX Human Revolution.
There you go. You get your own
Deus
Ex.
Deus Ex.
Just for listening to us and leaving a comment on iTunes.
That's about the best deal you ever get. They say there's no free lunch. There's really no free video games. So
free lunch. $5. Free video games. That's $60, man. Come on.
That's a $60 free benefit. Absolutely.
That's right.
Let's do it.
That's our contest for this week. And it's not even our contest. All you got to do is listen to us, which you already do.
And
comment. Tell us how great we are. Tell us what you're saying. That is totally and completely up to you.
Don't forget that I'm a little sensitive.
Man. Wow. Mining for positive comments for Alex.
Yeah, I am.
And just 14 short days from now, we will choose a winner using a random number generator. We will not stack the deck. Alex has already asked if she can win. The answer is no.
They have cut off all ways that I could possibly cheat.
That's right. No.
I'll keep thinking husband. About it, though.
There's no husband. There are no dogs. No dogs.
Smalls Lane is going to win.
Smalls may not win.
Can Peanut win? Oh, shit. I already got a copy.
I don't think you want. I don't know if you want peanut playing Deus Ex.
But even if you are, or maybe you already own the game, it doesn't matter. You can always resell it on eBay. We don't care. We're just saying, here's the game. You comment to us. You got it.
I care.
You sell it on eBay, gift it to your mom, trade it in at GameStop. That is totally and completely on you.
Mail it to Glenn Beck.
No, because, well, it's true. He does. He is still okay because I did not beat the boss.
That's right. Sarah couldn't beat the boss.
I couldn't follow through. Sorry, guys. I tried.
Well, I think that's a great deal.
That is.
So do I. Awesome. Cool, Leo.
Easiest free game you ever got. Mm-hmm. So that brings us to the end of our 17th episode of the Not Your Mama's Game podcast.
Come on. We're almost at episode 20. It's almost time to party again.
That's right.
We're going to have to get together and drink again.
We need a better system, though. We need a better system. Like, we should do it because I wasn't drunk enough, I don't think.
I seriously doubt that.
We need a better alcohol delivery system.
I totally think that Samantha was damn near drunk.
I'm going to bring a bottle of tequila next time.
Woo! We're doing it. We're doing it right. Yeah.
Sam, I don't care about the noises you're making right now. I'm bringing a bottle of tequila.
A bucket, yo. Come on.
Oh, okay.
Episode 20. Episode 20. Ready, guys. What do we have? What, like 3.5? Well, a month and a half or something. Episode 3. It's going to rock.
That's 18,
great. 19, 20. Yeah. 6 weeks.
6 weeks.
6 weeks.
Nick, good Lord.
And if you listen, we'll get you a t-shirt.
You can't just be making these promises. Let's stick to the game.
I'm totally like raising the stakes, okay?
Anyway. She's raising the stakes. If you listen, we get you a t-shirt. We're not getting everybody a t-shirt, man.
We'll get you a t-shirt by letting you go to the store and buy it yourself.
That's right.
There you go. Episode 20, we're going to release t-shirts. I still haven't gotten my damn t-shirt, Alex Lane.
Alex Lane.
I am just such a horrible person.
We should just put on Cafe Press. If somebody wants them, they can buy them.
No, she gave me money to get her a shirt.
Oh.
Never mind. It's ridiculous.
Oh, good.
There's absolutely no reason I haven't gotten that back to you, other than that I'm very lazy and I forget things.
Oh, man. Nobody even promised me a damn shirt.
That's true. We
you guys are like Tweedledum.
Alex, like, we need t-shirts for feminisms and rhetorics.
Yes. In fact, I might get a tattoo for that.
We're going to broadcast live when Alex gets a tattoo.
Not your mama's gamer tattoo.
I've never had a tattoo. Yeah, you think it'd be weird if I waited till 26 and then tattooed the name of our podcast on myself?
No, so, right on your butt. That's what
we'll get the symbol.
Alex, okay.
Don't tell anybody. If you do it, I might do it too.
Okay.
Do it too. Shh.
Actually, you know what? I might. I'll have to get my tetanus shot first, though.
Oh, come on.
You don't need a damn tetanus shot.
Kids. These kids.
Do you know how many tattoos I have already? You don't need a tetanus shot.
You know how much dirt I ate when I was a kid?
Well, I haven't had a tetanus shot in like 15 years, so I should probably have one.
All right, folks, you don't need to hear any more of this. Thank you very much for joining us for the 17th episode of the Mama's Gamer podcast. If you want to leave us questions or comments, or just tell
tattoo
us how
suggestions.
I love that.
Feel free to email us at nymgamer@gmail.com. Like us, like our page on Facebook, facebook.com/nymgamer. Follow us on Twitter at NYMGamer, or definitely visit our blog often and read our great posts in between episodes at NYMGamer.com, and join us next week definitely, where we will be talking about something that we will announce on the blog
and revealing our winner
That's the most important part.
That's right.
Revealing the winner of our contest and the winner of the free copy of Deus Ex. Oh, I guess we're going to have to wait and see what system they needed for 360 or PlayStation 3.
Well, we'll figure it out. Doesn't matter. Whatever it is, we will find you.
Yep. We'll get it done.
We'll find you and have it shipped to you.
Absolutely.
Maybe we'll have Sarah deliver it to your house.
We could tie it to Smalls. She's like a homing pigeon. Do it.
So once again, folks, thanks so much for joining us for this episode. Please join us next time. And until then, game on.
Bye.
Bye.